This side of country. This side of country.
If you're tuned into This Side of Country with Trav, we are powered by Fix It Forward Auto Care and another great local nonprofit organization doing great things out there. They've got a wonderful annual event coming up that we want to tell you about. And in studio, we've got the crew from Jail Chaplains. First of all, let's talk about what do you do over there? Some folks might not even be familiar with what the Jail Chaplains do. Kind of give us a rundown here.
Yeah, you bet. So at Jail Chaplains, we believe that no inmate walks alone. And so we are actually bringing together the broader community to go in and show love to inmates that are in the jail, to the correctional officers who are working in the jail, and then people that are in the community. And we, our goal is to point them to Jesus Christ so that they can find freedom. And John is our director of chaplaincy services. So John's actually the one who's coordinating our volunteers who actually go in and do the direct chaplain work right in the Cass County Jail.
All right. So let me ask you a first question here. I imagine the general community likes that you're supporting the inmates and everything, but is there always a little concern? Is there a little stigma that you feel surrounds your mission that you'd really like to break that barrier and get people to really truly understand?
Yeah, you know, I think there's when we think about criminals, I think there's a lot of fear that surrounds crime. And I think we like to, as a society, sort of put them away, put them into jail, put them into prison, and then forget about it or pretend that it doesn't exist around us. But the truth of the matter is that crime, for us, the criminals aren't the enemy. They're the hostages of the enemy. Yes. And we've come to set them free in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And so when we think about like somebody who's doing these, so like John, you have some statistics on why people are in jail and some of the
and I'm glad you asked that, because that's exactly where I was going. I think a lot of us want to know what kind of leads folks down that path and unfortunately getting themselves into a little bit of trouble. What are some of those stats that you have?
Well, one of the things, I've been collecting stats since I'm somewhat new to the position. I've been collecting stats since about the middle of last month.
Right.
And just to let people know, we've had about 869 people that have been booked into the into the Cass County Jail. And that comes out to be about 805 people in total.
Yeah.
So some of the people that are there, we have 32 people that are repeat offenders and that are in for a second or third time.
Yeah.
And 42% of the people are in there because of drugs. That's the big thing that we're seeing in our jails and our prison systems in the U.S. right now is drug-related.
Right.
And 40% of those, 40% of the total people have been violent in some way, abusive, and that's why they're in. And believe it or not, something strange for North Dakota, because we've had one of the highest binge drinking statistics in the country, we're down to 12% is all the people that are in the Cass County Jail that have got alcohol-related charges.
So the drug-related charges are actually much further and much more broad than the alcohol-related situations that we're thinking. We're thinking a lot of the times people are coming out of the bars a little disoriented with alcoholism, and that's where they're getting into trouble, but it's actually much bigger than that.
It's much more now into the drugs than it is the bars.
Yeah, and it makes you really kind of open your eyes and take a look, because if you don't think it's a problem here in Fargo-Moorhead, there's your stats. And those are the folks who are getting caught.
These are just the ones caught.
Getting caught, absolutely. Mike, what would you say is something we in the community here could maybe start opening our eyes to, or maybe do a little bit more to help support them before they even get into that direction?
Yeah, you bet, Travis. Well, I think the first thing is breaking down the barrier that it's a we versus they, but it's an us. Because when we think about at the root of this, drugs are just it's the outcome. It's the symptom of a deeper root issue. And really, when we think about who actually struggles with life-controlling problems, really anything that masters and controls a person's life, nearly everyone has something that they're struggling with.
Yes,
and so when we think about how that pattern of how people get caught into that trap, you know, it starts with experimentation, then it's social use, then daily preoccupation, and then using to feel normal.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's tactics that the enemy uses, like delusion, isolation, secrecy, you know. And so I think the biggest thing in my mind is that as a community, we can pray, and we can be praying not only just for those who are experiencing this in the community, but praying that our hearts would churn and our hearts would see people the way Jesus does, and to love them and to think about what can we be doing as well. Because I think it's a community issue.
Right.
It's something that we can come around people together. And really for us, we believe that to combat delusion, that's God's word. To combat isolation, that's fellowship. That's time with others. And to combat secrecy, that's the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And so those are things where, as we're thinking about no one walking alone and sharing the message of salvation of Jesus and creating disciples, you know, that really creates that's going to take a community to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And we can only do our work with and through volunteers, and volunteers that are praying, that are actually being the hands and feet of Jesus, coming in and helping with this work directly,
right,
and then who also give financially. So those are like the three key things that I would say would be what we're looking for from the broader community.
Absolutely. Let me take a step back here and ask you how long Jail Chaplains has been providing this now for the Fargo-Moorhead community.
You bet. So even before Jail Chaplains was an organization, this work has been happening for well over 40 years.
Wow.
And so it's wonderful. It's a rich tradition. There's a very close relationship with the sheriff's office, the sheriff's department, and all of the officers and staff that are in the sheriff's department. And so when we think about the correctional officers who are doing this work, that's a key part of our ministry. So when we think about a ministry of presence going in and loving on the officers, the staff, and their families, and making sure that they really have a sound spiritual life, so that then they're able to influence and impact those who come through the walls of the Cass County Jail.
Absolutely. Well, John, got a question for you. You're in and out of there a lot working with these folks. Has there ever been a situation where maybe they're saying, don't even bother with that one, lost cause, and you go, challenge accepted?
Those are the ones that I like. Part of the thing is the chaplain. Chaplains, if you don't know, chaplains are kind of, we're ministers that are trained to visit with anybody.
Right.
So you can be an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come visit you if you want to visit, because I'm there to help and support. I'm there to open doors and plant seeds and show support, because part of the thing that happens is a lot of times when you are locked up in jail, they kind of, it feels like you're being treated like you're not human.
Right.
So as a chaplain, my job is to treat people like they're human beings.
Yes.
And to give them some grace and to listen to their stories. And if I get the opportunity, you know, I will point them to Jesus. If that's not where they want to go, then we won't go there right there. But it's just showing them kindness and support, because a lot of times what people are dealing with is they're out of control.
Right.
They're in a different place, and they're now trying to find themselves in jail.
Imagine if Jesus himself said to us, you know what, I give up on you. You keep sinning, you keep causing problems, you keep giving me a headache, it's like day in and day out with you, I pretty much just have enough. Imagine what would happen to us as people and society if God did that to us.
Mm.
So why would we do that to folks here in the community as well? I mean, give us an example where you've seen people turn their lives around because of implementing God and Jesus into their life. And now they're out there doing wonderful things, because we want to show what a great example something like this can be for them.
You bet. And that's a great point, Travis. You know, part of this is, it's not always instant. It takes time.
Right.
And so for the Holy Spirit to mend and knit and heal within a heart, you know, that sometimes takes time. That's that whole process. But it starts with having people turn their lives and starting to follow Jesus Christ. And then when his Holy Spirit comes in into them, then they're indwelt and able to actually experience this true freedom. I can just share, I know for I'll share specifically, there's been several. I mean, early on, there's so many people that are coming to Jesus in the jail.
Right.
And then afterwards, once they get out, I can just, a couple of key people like Will Dortz. So Will was actually in the Cass County Jail and then found Jesus, and actually has now shared his faith with the rest of his family. And
love that.
Originally, he's from Haiti. You know, he works. So now he actually runs a barbershop, Skills Cuts, here in town.
Yes.
And his whole family, he started a barber college. They support thousands of people back in Haiti still. And really, his whole family has just found this redemption and this whole new life because of them walking with Jesus.
That's absolutely wonderful. What a great story. I think that's absolutely fantastic. More people need to hear stories like that instead of always on the news. This person's arrested for that. This person's arrested for that. How about when they get out? What turned their life around? What good things are they doing now? We really need to make sure that as a community, we're out there supporting and celebrating the people who have turned their lives around and are doing wonderful things, because it can happen.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And it happens all the time.
It does happen all the time. What I love, too, is you got this wonderful annual dessert social fundraiser coming up. That's Thursday, October 5th. No inmate walks alone. Love that slogan. Tell me how you came up with something like that, because it's very true.
Yeah, so early on, we were praying and asking the Lord for vision within this season of what we should focus on. And so we actually just realized that a key part of this ministry moving forward is prayer and just covering everything in prayer. And so we met with one of our volunteers who actually coordinates our prayer ministry. So we're doing third Thursdays. So every third Thursday, we're meeting at Relevant Life Church in town and doing a prayer over the noon hour.
Yeah.
But early on in that, she actually mentioned this idea of no inmate walks alone, and it just really stuck. It was something that both John and I, as we were thinking about that, we were like, oh, I think this is it. And then it got us started. Like, it got us started thinking about, well, how, if we're truly going to have no one walk alone,
right,
and there is such a large population, I mean, in the last 5 years, over 37,000 people being booked in the jail, what is that going to take? Right. And John, I know, like, when we got together on that, we got really excited about how we could build out some minimum training for volunteers. And
that was like the building block right there.
And you just went
from there.
And it's, the amazing part is it's also kind of one of those infectious things, because I had finished running a group in the jail.
Yeah.
And I came out, and there was somebody that had just come back from Jamestown, who had been discharged from the Cass County Jail.
Right.
And he needed a ride home.
Okay.
So what did I do? I gave him a ride home, because that was the need.
Yeah. That's absolutely amazing. Now we're going to have this No Inmate Walks Alone annual dessert fundraiser. How does dessert fit in to this whole thing? I mean, you could obviously do a lot of different type of events, but definitely one way to get people in the door is nab at that sweet tooth. I know I'm going to be there for sure, and I want to say thank you so much for having me and asking me to be your event MC this year. But annual dessert social fundraiser, annual. How long have we been doing the annual dessert fundraiser?
Yeah, this is well over a decade.
Yeah.
This is just, it's been kind of a tradition for the ministry. And I know there's a couple of items, like we have a carrot cake that usually goes for a high price. And this year we've actually, our sponsorships, we actually are still offering sponsorships to individuals or businesses that would want to sponsor the event. And at a certain level, the lieutenant level, they're actually able to have a dessert table. So I think cheesecake was just claimed, there might be cherry or strawberry cheesecake still. That was something where then be able to interact with people as they're at the event. So I think just that idea that we are coming together as a community, we're celebrating the restoration of lives to the community by the power of Jesus, and just sharing testimony. So a lot of this year, a lot of our focus is really going to be around that no one does this alone.
Right.
It takes a group. And so we actually, John and I, just participated in one of our Living Free community groups called our Insight Group.
Sure.
And that group is actually going to be on a panel this year just to share about how they've one individual has received deliverance, total freedom from the demonic. Somebody else came out of jail and has just experienced, his whole family's been baptized, and he's actually getting married this upcoming week. And so he's going to be there, and we're celebrating with him. And I think a part of this, the key to all of this is that it really is a community, and it takes it in a lot of these relationships aren't instant. They're not, unless they're superficial, and we want to go deep. We want to have deep relationships. And I think so far we really have. We've had these extended deep relationships with folks and walking with them so that we can make the easy choice, the right choice on who they're connecting with in the community to really point them to a better future.
This is really going to be a fantastic evening. I mean, obviously we get to enjoy some sweet tooth, desserts over here, cheesecake and so many different things. I got to go last year, but I love to. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Don't you have like a dessert that is made by somebody who was previously in our local government that just is a real treat and really popular each and every year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Former Governor Ed Schaefer.
Yeah.
His wife, Nancy, had been on our board of directors.
Yeah.
But Ed typically has made a cherry pie in the past. And so we'll see if he offers that again this year, or if we maybe have, we'll see what we get.
Yeah.
Well, and I heard one of the, as they've been trying to get people for sponsorship, they've got somebody that's actually looking at doing some barbecue and brisket. And
ooh,
I don't know, that sounds pretty good too.
It's the season. That's fall food right there.
Yeah.
I love this. Where would you like to see jail chaplains grow? How would you like to continue growing this this movement, because correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like since the pandemic, the last couple of years, faith, Christianity, God, really under attack. And it feels like everywhere you look, people, it on the surface, it seems like people are maybe losing touch with that. And now's a really good opportunity to show through jail chaplains and your work just the incredible things that God and Jesus Christ will do for your lives. Well, how would you like to grow this?
Well, I can answer from my side because I'm in the jail. And a lot of what I see in there is that when you find yourself locked behind those doors and that door clanks behind you for the first time, it's a pretty scary place to be. And a lot of this is God's call to just bring us back to sanity, to use an addiction term with that.
Yes.
Just to help find yourself again and get yourself turned around and getting on a good path.
You said it right there, sanity. How many times do we let our own mind play games with us and talk to us and steer us down the wrong road? And it could certainly happen right there. And that's where you guys come in and really provide that direction and that inspiration for them. Yeah. Fantastic. Give me the information again coming up here on the Jail Chaplain's Dessert Social Fundraiser. Where, when, how can people get involved? How can people attend?
Yeah, you bet, Travis. So our Jail Chaplain's Dessert Social Fundraiser is going to be Thursday, October 5th at 6:30 p.m. at the Holiday Inn in Fargo. People can find tickets or choose to sponsor the event at jailchaplains.com.
Fantastic. I love what you're doing over there. And thank you again for asking me to be a part of this. I'm truly blessed and honored to be your event MC this year and eat dessert. I'm all about dessert.
We're excited to have you.
Does the MC get an extra dessert?
I think we could give you three desserts.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, John. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Travis. This side of country. This side of country.